5 minutes later, a squad car pulled up to her house and parked on the street. Two officers climbed out. Keiko ushered the men inside, listened numbly to their basic questions, and somehow kept herself together when they said there was only so much they could do. Unless a disappearance involved children, the police didn't officially consider it suspicious until after a set amount of time. Masato Yamada hadn't been gone nearly long enough for that. Smiling sympathetically, the officers told her not to worry. Most of the time, the person turned up alive and well. They tipped their hats, handed her their cards, and went on their way. As soon as their car rolled down the street, Keiko snatched the poem from the piano. She crumpled the sheet and was about to hurl it at the wall when she noticed an envelope lying underneath. Heart pounding, she lifted the letter gingerly, turning the thick packet over in her hands. The back was blank, but on the front, her father had written one simple word, Keiko. Wide-eyed and trembling, Keiko tore at the paper, finding a Japanese passport bearing her name, an open one-way ticket from New York's JFK International Airport to Narita, a booking with something called ancestral travel, and, curiously, a short personal note that read, Go to Japan in my place. Find the gate. Your camera will show you the way. That was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks of planning and packing before arriving in Tokyo, camera in hand, to search for one gate in 1,000. In 100,000. Keiko didn't even know why. What was so important about a gate? Head shaking, she brought the camera back up to her eye, focused on yet another torii gate, this one in front of a makeshift shrine, and waited for... what? She had no idea, and that was part of the problem. A few seconds ticked by. The crowd swarmed in to block her view. Commuters in business suits. A pretty woman with so many bags in her arms she could barely see. A teenager and his girlfriend. And a tall, bald man who seemed to pause and glance in her direction before moving on. The look he shot her was strangely familiar. Intimate, even. Enough for Keiko to keep her lens on him as he strode away. His antiquated crimson robes were wildly out of place in the modern Ginza. They held her attention as much as his ageless face and the determined set of his shoulders. What was the odd white glow surrounding his body? A reflection? A trick of the light? Keiko hoped so. She considered going after him, but quickly stopped. Taking off after a stranger was never a good idea. Besides, she needed to get back to the tour group. She'd been gone a while. Too long, probably. If she didn't hurry back, they'd leave her behind. Stowing her camera, she sprinted through the crowd. A large, brightly lit building loomed in front of her, and she skidded to a stop before a department store window. Inside, kimono-clad mannequins held cell phones and tablets. Outside, 100 faces passed by her, all Japanese. Her fellow Americans had moved on. They'd left her alone, just like her father. She cursed again, this time loudly. How could she have been so careless? Her first trip abroad and already lost. What would her father say? She didn't know what he expected her to do here, but this certainly wasn't it. She should have paid more attention to the time and not let that man pull her away. Not that she could do anything about it now. Not unless she could roll back the minutes and choose a different path. Frustrated, she checked her watch. Another of her father's gifts. Swiss, gold bezel, mother-of-pearl face, automatic movement. It was an antique, but it looked and ran like new. She was only a few minutes late, but it was enough. A feeling of hopelessness washed over her. Looking for a handful of people in a crowd this big was out of the question. She might as well search for a goldfish in the ocean. Her phone? A good option, or would be if she'd activated its international roaming before leaving Manhattan. Her only chance was to head for the tour's next stop and pray she reached it before they moved on again. Reluctantly, she drew her map from her pocket. The Imperial Palace. It wasn't far, a cab ride away at most. If she hurried, she'd just about make it. Quickly stuffing the map into her jacket, she darted off. A clump of people